going on, everybody, and welcome back. Today, you guys are going to hear from a sober Mike Bussing. You guys heard him in episode 20 at Deer Camp. Granted, we were all pretty toasted in that episode, but we figured it'd be fun to have him back on. He's new to hunting. He just shot his first deer this year, and he's been doing all kinds of cool stuff in the kitchen with it, so we thought it'd be fun to sit down and talk hunting for an hour with him. So, without further ado, episode 21 with our friend Mike Bussing. All right, so welcome all of our new listeners from Google Play and wherever the hell else. We got the Stitcher. We finally got it on, what are they, venues, Mikey?
That's right, man. Well, directories, we call them.
So we've been doing directories. Directories is the correct
word. In the business. We've been doing this for almost a year now.
Almost a year.
And we just now realize that we have not been exposing ourselves in the proper way to the public.
And surprise, surprise, our downloads are starting to climb pretty
high. That's awesome, dude.
The more people that know about us, the more people will like us, hopefully.
So thank all both of you.
And thank you to everybody that's been liking our Facebook page and joining our Facebook group.
Yeah, that's getting bigger. It's nice to see.
It's nice to get. We're trying to grow a community around a podcast. You know what
right,
I mean?
And right.
It's nice when you start to see that fall into place. You know, we got people from all over joining. We got a couple people from New York just went on there.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it when I click on their profiles and we don't have any mutual friends.
Right.
Right.
Feel good.
Yeah, it means they got there through listening to the show.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, so we'll go around the horn here. To my left is, you know him as Mr. Mustachio, Adam Peterson.
Yep.
And then there is Ray Cole.
All right.
We're gonna do
skip
Mikey
right over, Mikey.
And then Mikey. Mikey is, you've heard him on the Deer Camp episode.
Yes, that's the only one I've been on. Bob, I think, was on one or two. And then Ryan, guys I've worked with in podcasting, have all been on your show. So...
This is your
show. My turn.
We're not feel fucking, left out.
Yeah, we're not fucking hammered this time. Either.
Right. Yeah.
Deer Camp episode was bad.
It was rough. Dude, I'll be honest. Can I clarify something about
Don't
that?
Don't blow up, kid.
Please do.
I sounded like a drunk baby. Anytime I talked, it was so bad. I mean, granted, I was like 12 or 13 beers in at that point, but wow, dude, it was a little hard to hear.
It was Deer Camp, Mikey.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was an awesome time.
What I noticed about my voice in that episode is I didn't realize my drunk voice is that annoying.
Yeah, I think we all learned that. Not about you.
Thanks, Mike.
No, about ourselves. We all heard ourselves. I'm sure nobody said any. Like, everybody, I think, embarrassed themselves a little bit on that episode, which was good. Like, everybody took the brunt at one point in the conversation. So
I gotta say, it was nice to see Popsy take a little bit of heat. You know, we've spent years taking heat from that dude. I mean, none of you guys have, but me and Bobby have, for Christ's sake. So it was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So you survived Deer Camp. I'm proud of you. That's the second year in a row.
Second year in a row. Yeah, and I hope I'm invited next year too. It was a great time. I mean, obviously, I shot my first deer ever. So it's just
always
a hell of an experience, man.
Yeah, that little bit of success, does that make you want to do any hunting outside of deer camp now, or what?
Yeah, it does. I can't get too crazy with it. I mean, I'm not that skilled, and I mean, I had Bob with me the whole time there, and kind of showing me the ropes, but yeah, I mean, it's something that I do want to get into further, especially like the bow hunting aspect of things, but that's next level, dude. You know, like, bow hunting is, to my knowledge, it's just kind of a whole different thing, so...
There's definitely a lot more to bow hunting than
it's a lot more challenging.
Gun hunting.
I've never missed firearm hunting. I've missed more deer than I've shot bow hunting.
But
all my 3 years of experience.
Right. Well, hey.
But I will say when I harvest a deer with a bow, doe, buck, doesn't matter. It's always just a little bit more special.
You feel a little better
about
it. Yep. Right.
Because I mean you. There's a lot of work that goes into it.
Yeah,
like
meticulous training, that kind of, I mean, you know, with a gun, you know, I've had minimal firearms experience in my life, but I can point and click, you know what I mean? So, I don't know quite everything that goes into bow hunting, but I actually, from listening to this podcast, learned that there's a little more to it than I thought initially, so I'm definitely hesitant to get into it, but I'd like to, so.
So my brother's got that old bow of his that he...
Yeah, we were actually talking about that a couple weeks ago, and he's thinking about selling
it.
Well, let me use it and then eventually selling it to me.
To
be
you.
Cool.
I forgot what he's even got.
I don't even know what it is, dude. I mean, I couldn't tell you. Compound bow.
Right. I think it's an old Browning or something. But yeah, I mean, I think it'd be good for you, Mikey. I mean, there's all kinds of spots to hunt down here.
Right.
You know?
And up north is a different hunting experience. It's not.
Yeah, it definitely is compared to our area where we are with just the you know, environment we're in down here is entirely different than what there is up there. So
now, what about like small game and like turkey hunt or anything like that? You want to get into that now? Or
yeah,
what?
I mean, I'd pretty much do any. I'd hunt anything at this point. But yeah, no, turkey hunting sounds like a blast because I think you were talking about your last turkey hunt when we were at deer camp.
Oh yeah. It's a blast.
Dude. What appealed to me about it was that you're on your feet the whole time, you know, you're not
ish. I mean, ish. You can do it a couple different ways.
Yeah.
But, yeah. The way we were doing it last year, we were on our feet quite a bit.
Yeah.
Calling, but yeah, I mean, that's squirrel hunting for me. I mean, that's one where you're on your feet quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Now,
all you're gonna
need with squirrel hunting is a 22, right?
Or is 22 that... or a shotgun,
right?
It depends on the time of year. If there's a lot of leaves on the trees yet, shotgun tends to be a little easier to use. If the trees are bare and all the leaves are off, a 22 is, I don't know, it's
a lot easier to clean a squirrel when you shoot it with a 22 in the head.
Yeah,
sure, yeah, right.
And it's quicker. I mean.
It's almost the difference between like gun hunting and bow hunting for deer is shotgun and 22 hunting for a squirrel. One's a little easier. One is more just point and click.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, shotguns are nice when they're on the move.
Yeah, right.
Jumping
sure.
tree to tree, it's a lot easier to take a 410 or something and just.
Yeah.
But then you got to get all the shot out of them.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah.
But, and I asked that because you and your girlfriend looks like you've been throwing down in the kitchen, man.
Dude. Yeah.
With
you
that
have
venison.
Yeah. I was about to say you have no idea, but I'm pretty sure you have some idea. yeah. I mean, we've been, we haven't been going too crazy with it. Like, I'm a little nervous on what to do with the roasts and stuff. But as far as, chunking up meat and grinding it, making, you know, 19 pounds of burger,
is that what you ended up getting out of all that?
Yeah. Yeah. Quite a bit. Now we did chunk up the shoulder roast, one of the shoulder roasts too. But yeah, we ended up with 19 pounds. And that was mixed with beef,
pork.
No, we used beef.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
The suet or
suet,
whatever?
Suet. That's what it is. Yeah. We used beef suet. I was going to go with the pork fat because that's what we talked, you know, that's what you and Bob were telling me to do. But then I talked to a couple other people and they kind of convinced me. I guess they said something about the beef fat keeping better and for longer. Which,
I've never heard that. But.
I mean, I don't know, dude. Yeah, I'm just learning as I go. But
okay. I mean, there, maybe.
I went with it.
When I do my burger, just personally, I don't cut any fat into it. I have
I don't
fat
either.
When it hits the pan. So that kind of lets me control how much goes into it because my girlfriend's really into being healthy and I'm not. So
yeah.
It's an easy way to make her happy and save me time when I'm grinding the stuff up. So.
Yeah, I don't cut it with anything.
Yeah.
If I'm going to make burger patties, what I to try to get it to adhere better, I add like feta cheese or an egg or some breadcrumbs or all three, you know, especially if you're doing like a meatloaf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man.
You get real crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I don't cut it with any pork fat or anything.
Which is interesting, dude, because I was real gung-ho about, not that I hate the taste of venison, I don't. I like the taste of venison. But I was actually trying to think long term. And I thought, if me and my girlfriend got a freezer full of beef or venison right now, you know, in 3 months down the road, if she's sick of eating venison, we got to have something that's going to taste a little different. You know, so,
yeah.
I was thinking to myself, like, I want to try and make this burger taste more beefy. So that's why I went with one of the reasons why I went with the beef fat. Because I'm
sense.
Like, eventually.
Yeah.
If she comes to me and she's like, I don't want to eat venison anymore, and we got all this meat in the freezer, we still got to eat it. So I was just kind of trying to think ahead a little bit there. But.
Well, that's a double-edged sword there. If she comes to you and says, I don't like venison, that just means you get to eat more of it. So.
That's true. That's true.
But she seems to be all about it, though.
Dude, no, yeah, she is. I'm actually surprised. And she's got experience growing up from her dad's a big hunter. And so she was actually helping me grind the venison. We brought a grinder from her dad, actually. And she was helping me with that and helping me package it and everything and was helping me with the scale. I mean, she's just getting her hands dirty and really,
that's
she
awesome.
Was digging it. Yeah,
yeah
it was
really
great.
Cool.
That actually reminds me, on a side note, Ryan's daughter, Ryan Johnson, that's been on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
We were butchering Ray Cole's buck that we're going to talk about here in a little bit. as we were doing that, Ryan showed up with his daughter, and it went from she saw it hanging in the garage. You know, we had at that point just his front shoulders off and his head off.
Right.
And she's like, ew, you know, I don't have nothing to do with that.
Right? Ray shot a deer this year? I haven't heard about it.
But by the end of the night, you know, it went from, you know, she'd creep in and get a little curious. By the end of the night, she was helping Ray, you know, vac seal everything and
cool.
Just getting her, as you know, just being, she's what, 7, 8, something like that. So she's got her hands in there, which is getting dirty. But
yeah,
I don't, that just reminded me of that.
But yeah, it's great.
Does Aaron have a problem cooking it? Because Cassie does. Cassie doesn't like to cook it because it does give off kind of a I don't want to say bad smell, but a different smell than you would get from beef or pork.
Right. So far, no. And she does, I mean, she's right there with me cooking. And we've done, you know, we've done the burger, we've done steaks, we've done taco. She made a stew. So yeah, I'm going to go with no on that one. And, yeah, I mean, she's got ideas. She's coming up with different meals we can do. She's all about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really awesome. And you were talking about things to do with the roast.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still a little nervous on that. I mean, we did a stew, which I would imagine when we do a roast, we're just going to basically make stew and just throw a chunk of meat in it. You know, I mean, we're not going to do anything too
crazy. An easy way to
crazy.
Do
it.
What I do is take a shoulder roast, throw in a crock pot with McCormick's savory pot roast and the water, whatever water it calls for, onions, carrots, potatoes.
Right.
Just turn it on when you leave for work. When you come back, the shit's done, man. It just falls right off the bone. You're left, you'll pull the whole bone right out, and you'll just be left with nice, lean roast in
delicious,
there.
Delicious, long grain.
But there's, I've also recently seen some recipes for it was a root beer barbecue pulled, like a pulled pork sandwich. What are they called? Just pulled meat, pulled venison.
Right.
Same thing to cook in a slow roaster like this. So there's all kinds of slow cooker recipes you can do.
Right. Yeah.
I'm that's sure really, Adam's got something.
Just off the top of my head, I use like a Lipton soup mix. They make that onion soup.
Sure.
And you just put a package of that in there with a couple cups of water, or if you get real crazy, use chicken broth or beef broth. And, celery, carrots, onions, sometimes tomatoes. You can't really go wrong.
Yeah.
And put whatever you like to eat in the crock pot with a shoulder roast, and it's going to come out delicious.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend, like, smoking it. Cause, I mean, I've never tried it. I don't know how it would turn out. But, like a pork shoulder, I would smoke and pull it all to pieces.
Right.
And make, like, a, you know, pulled pork out of it. But with venison, it just seems like it's so dry. I don't know if how that would work, you know.
I think you would have to brine it and have a really good brine and keep a really careful eye on the smoker itself. But if you did something like smoke a front shoulder on a deer, you'd expect it to be kind of dry. You'd have to, because the meat itself is just so lean. There's nothing you can do about it. At a certain point, you can only put so much moisture into it on your own without having it, you know, have its own moisture that comes out of it. So that's just, if you were going to smoke it, I think you would expect it to be a little bit dry.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, and that's why I asked you if you were planning on doing any hunting down here next year, because when you run out of venison, what the hell are you going
to
do, man?
Right? I know, dude.
it's hard to go back to beef.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, it's just been such a learning experience. And
sorry, man. Oh, you're good. I do it all the time.
Yeah, but I do want to take it to the next level. Probably from here, I'd probably look into getting a muzzle loader, keep it you know, in the world of the guns, and then from there, maybe pick up a bow and try to work it out.
I think you should take Bobby's bow home. And can you shoot at your house? I'm not. I don't even know where you
well,
live.
I mean, it's tricky. I could probably get
legally. Can you shoot legally?
Yeah. But as far as like a range, I could probably set up a target 40 yards from my porch.
That's plenty, man.
Oh yeah,
that's plenty.
Yeah,
that's for a beginner. And I don't shoot bow. When I was growing up, my dad taught me how to shoot a bow, and he told me anything within 25 yards you should be comfortable with. If you can hit a paper plate within 25 yards for your first deer, you know, it depends on you how comfortable you are with your shooting, but there's no reason to push it with a stick and a string, because there's so much detail that goes into making that shot, that goes into deciding to pull that, you know, the string back and do that.
Right.
Anything outside of your comfort zone when you're first deer with a bow, you know, 25 yards is...
Yeah, and there's a lot more margin for error.
I was going to say, with a bow, there's a lot of shit that can go wrong.
No, 40's my limit. I've only been doing this. This is my third year, but 40's my limit.
Right.
And I missed one at, 43 yards?
Yeah.
Earlier this year.
What's good about a muzzleloader, though, is that you can take it out for firearm season, and then they have a particular season just for a muzzleloader, too.
Sure.
So you can kind of double dip if you want to. And a muzzleloader will give you a whole lot more range, and it tends to be a lot more accurate, say, than I shoot a rifled slug barrel on my shotgun, and I would be comfortable taking a shot 100, 120, maybe 150 yards if I had to. But it's really, like with a muzzleloader, you can get 200 yards if you need to.
Oh, especially if you're putting 150 grains of powder.
Right, right.
I shoot 100 grains of powder, and I wouldn't hesitate at 150 yards.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't even
blink. Yeah.
It tends to be a lot more accurate. The trade-off, though, is you only got one shot for the most part.
Right.
You know,
that's all you need, Mikey.
Right.
That's all you need.
That's how I feel, actually.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I don't like, you know, get six in there and they're just boom, 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 trying to put this deer down. I'd rather,
like on opening morning.
If I miss, I miss, you win.
Right.
Well, that's the thing with a firearm, typically, if you shoot and miss, you're not going to get another shot.
Not one that you should feel comfortable taking.
Right. And they'll be on the fly, right? Yeah. I mean, if you want to try to snap one off. But.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's certain situations where it might be acceptable, but for the most part, if you can't get the job done with one shot, your first shot, you've got no business shooting at the animal, really.
Mm-hmm.
Unless
exactly.
You're just trying to wound it, which...
You listening, Popsy? When you touch that trigger...
Oh, boy.
You need to make sure you can put that animal down.
No, I just shot it to slow it down.
Yeah, I'm talking shit. I hit one in the leg earlier we talked about, so...
Yeah. I was just telling you about the one that I recovered Sunday night. Somebody else had shot it Saturday.
Well, that's a good segue.
And, I picked up a doe Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening that had been shot Saturday night. And where it was shot, the bullet hole entered the back of the right ham on the back side of the doe. So it had to be running away or walking away. Somebody took a really bad shot on a really nice animal. And we made the most out of it. We recovered what we could from the animal itself, but it...
And now, where was the exit?
There was no exit wound.
But did it get into its vitals at all?
It definitely never touched the heart or the lungs. It was gut shot 100%.
It wasn't like a broadside into the ham.
No, this was actually like more towards the length of the body instead of across the body. It blew up the bone in the ham. So I know the doe didn't run... I wouldn't guess 50 yards the way it was injured. It lost one of its main legs to get where it needed to go. And if there wasn't a lot of blood, it was cold enough Saturday that tracking that animal should not have been a problem. Nope. And it should have been really easy to find the way that they shot it. Because when I got to it, the damage that was on the inside of it told me that that doe didn't go very far at all before it died.
It probably hit an artery through there, huh?
I'm assuming it did. There was a lot of blood and it nicked the liver, so... It definitely hemorrhaged everywhere behind the chest cavity.
So you got a free deer to couple your button buck.
Yes, sir. I took the heart out of that and gave the liver to another guy and actually let Tiffany's uncle tag that deer and take it and have it because I was lucky enough this year to give myself a little button buck.
Let's hear about it.
So
nice.
Once again, I go out opening day and I see... 6-7 deer, feeling pretty good about it. The day after, I see a couple deer, feeling pretty good about it. Nothing I can get a shot on opening day. It's mostly just deer doing like Mach 3, you know, cutting ass, hauling through the woods, getting the hell away from whatever was just shooting at them.
Opening day of firearm.
Opening day of firearm, yeah, I'm sorry. so I hunt probably a week after that and I don't see anything. It gets to be right up near the end of the season. I think this is the Friday after Thanksgiving this year. So there might have been a week left. And starting to feel the pressure, getting a little nervous about it. A couple smaller deer come in where I'm hunting. And I know immediately I'm sitting on four tags. I got two doe permits and a combo tag. So I'm ready to kill whatever I see. You know, you highfalutin guys out there, forgive me, but size to me doesn't matter when I'm trying to put meat in my freezer.
Right.
So I made the decision immediately that I was going to kill one, if not both of these animals, because I'm not eating my tags, so I got to do something. So I shot this little guy. He's about 32 yards away. It's funny. His sister was walking in front of him. She got down about to the 12 o'clock position right in front of me, and she turned around. She got behind this big oak tree and decided she didn't want to keep going that way, so she turned and went back the way that she had come from. He followed her, got behind the oak tree. And I brought my gun up, and I thought, hell, if he pops out on the right side of this tree, they were moving from left to right, so I figure if he pops out on the right side of this tree, I'm going to kill him. If he goes left, I'll let him go. You know, just that was the coin toss I did in the stand. Well, he popped out from behind the tree, and I popped it once and right behind the head, and that was it. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Meet in the freezer.
That's right.
Yeah, you don't get a whole lot of time, and you don't bow hunt.
No, I don't bow hunt.
So you take what you can get.
I work like 65, sometimes 70 hours a week, so I do take what I can get. I take the first opening week of gun season off normally, and I have to make sure I capitalize on every opportunity I have. So when I say that, you know, I wasn't going to eat my tag, that doe or that deer could have been half the size it was. And granted, it wasn't a big deer. It could have had spots on it. I wouldn't have mattered to me because I'm hungry. So
right.
When it comes down to it, I'm going to kill something.
Right.
I've got the legal tags to do it, and I don't really mind.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No.
Nothing wrong with it.
You know, this one's going to be, and I can attest to it, fork tender. So when I say it, it's not just a saying. You can cut this thing with a fork. It's all good.
Hell yeah.
So
I was actually there to eat the loins with you.
Yeah. Yeah, you showed up when I was searing the loins.
You and your dad.
I did those. So I seasoned them real heavy. I threw them in a hot pan. I just seared the outside of the tenderloins, and then I threw them on top of a bed of rice as the rice was finishing up cooking, and it turned out great.
Outstanding. It
turned out really, really great. So,
but mental note, rice.
Yes, rice. Wild rice is any wild meat's best friend.
Sure.
It goes really well.
Right on.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that just, you know, the size thing reminds me when we were up at the cabin. One of my favorite memories from deer camp this year was when Mikey looked at me as we were cutting the backstrap out of that doe.
Yeah.
And we were cooking it up, you know, and he looks at me, he's like, I don't even see them as animals anymore. I see them as food.
Absolutely, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll make you feel bad now when you see one dead on the side of the road. You're like, oh, man, that's such
fucking
a waste.
Meat. Right.
It's such a waste.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah, definitely, dude.
And I picked up roadkill deer before. I went out hunting. This was probably when I was 18, I think. We were going out in the morning. It was snowing. We went out to a property off of Pine Lake Road and didn't get nothing. Leaving the property, going back towards my mom's house where I was living at the time, on the side of the road was a fresh roadkill doe. I mean, I know it was fresh because it wasn't there a couple hours ago. Here it is now. It's snowing out. This doe has no snow on it, so it just got hit within 45 minutes or an hour. So we threw it in the back of the truck and made the most of that one too. Lost the front shoulder on it, and I think half of the front back strap. And that was it.
Fuck, that ain't bad.
No, hell no, it wasn't bad for a free doe.
Yeah, that's great.
I went out and sat, got cold, got miserable, didn't have to fire my gun, got a doe. So, still tagged it just the same and cut it up and none the wiser.
Hell yeah.
It was all good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go next. I, since deer camp... Shot me a Caitlyn Jenner doe.
You shot a weird one this year, didn't you?
Shot me an unicorn.
Unicorn.
Yeah, it was a doe with a 4.5-inch spike in, I call it hard velvet, but
yeah.
Full hard velvet.
Right.
Craziest deer I've ever shot.
Right in the center of the forehead. No.
No. No, it was on the right side. But yep. And the crazy thing was... I haven't skinned her head out yet for the Euro mount, but it doesn't feel like she even had a pedicle.
Really?
Like it's like growing right out of her fucking skull.
That's weird.
Really weird. It's weird that she had a goddamn spike to begin with.
Right.
Because that's what threw me off, man. It was her and two little ones were out in the field for 15 minutes. I had no idea she even had a spike. I had a muzzle loader.
Right.
They were only 50 yards out.
Right.
You know, it was getting dark, so it wasn't real easy to see, but like, whatever, you know. And then she gets around like 10 yards in front of me, and I'm like, is that a fuck? Yeah, it is.
All right.
I'm like, so I knew she was a doe before I even shot her. You know?
Right,
so
I
put the gun down, shot her, got up to it, and that was the first thing I checked.
When you shot her, did like a rainbow come out of her?
She started farting glitter when she went down. No, but that was absolutely crazy. That I can't wait to talk to Ken Kesson because
yeah.
There is so much goofy shit going on that property. Mm-hmm. The big buck I shot last year with the rhinos and the piebald.
Where's this at?
Popsies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking nuts. My nephew, Bobby's kid, his first buck was doe, kind of, sort of. A little little different. That one had a fully functional, I think, 7-point rack. Not in velvet.
Fully functional.
Fully functional.
The rack worked great.
But it didn't have titties or nothing, but it didn't have a dick or balls.
Right, right.
Yeah, very so strange. I don't know what the hell's going on out there, if it's the dump or what.
Something's in the water. Yeah. You know what? You're lucky you didn't grow up with a fucking antler sticking out of your head, apparently.
The dump runoff.
But now here's my question for
millennial deer.
Right.
Just lost some viewers out
of it. Yeah, fuck it.
What are we, arthropods anyway? So
right.
From the beaver episode.
Do you guys get a lot of flack? A lot of kickback from
we
people?
Did one time. That guy went away. I think he crawled back to wherever he crawled out of. And
the weird guy with the dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was different.
He was probably a really nice guy. We just, the only exposure we got to him was him openly criticizing us. And then at first he liked us.
Right.
And then he listened to the beaver episode and decided that we were a bunch of heathens or whatever. And that's where apparently insects or... Yeah. Simple-minded men.
He
in
definitely
America.
Got weird, and he loved mentioning the fact that he had like 50 what was it, akitas or whatever.
Yeah,
50 he was what
on like a dog farm.
Okay,
yeah, like akitas or.
And then the last message he sent us was, "You guys are going to get a bunch of hate mail."
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get any hate mail.
Hater.
Yeah, just from I mean, haters going to hate. You
both
know?
Of my friends. And...
Right.
These dogs are going to be so angry.
Yeah, that guy was very strange.
Yeah, I'm sure he was a nice guy, and if he wanted to, you know, follow us, click the like button, whatever, support us, it'd be great. If not, then we'll just continue doing what we're going to do without him.
Exactly.
America.
My question to you listeners is, how in the hell do I preserve the velvet on this dough? I've never had that problem before.
I've seen people with velvet.
Do I need to do
before.
Anything?
I have no idea myself. I'm hoping somebody else does because I'd like to learn.
Brewer did reach out and said that if it's a hard velvet, that I really shouldn't have to do anything other than just cover it up with foil or wrap it in something while I'm
just
boiling
it. Right.
But I got it. You know, I had bloody hands posing for pictures and whatnot. Grab that antler.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's got blood all over the velvet. I'm not sure how I go about getting that out either.
I don't think you do now.
I don't think so either. That's why I think I'm just screwed, which sucks because it makes it look different.
Yeah.
A lot different.
Now it's red velvet.
Ooh. it's like a dark, it doesn't look right, you know? Yeah, I'd love to clean that out.
Fancy your own mouth.
You know what you do? You just dip that velvet now in like rainbow.
And then coat it in glitter.
That's right.
But no, that by far was the craziest night in the woods I think I've had in a long time as far as harvest, because that was
I think every
nuts,
year
dude.
You come up with like a unique
it's
animal
the property,
situation. There's just always something like you can never just have a normal season. There's always like, well, I was gonna go do this and then this happened and I'm like, how did you do a backflip and why? There's no reason for this.
Well, what fucks me up was people ask me how my season's going. I'm like, yeah, good. I got one tag left. Shot two does.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you know, one tag left. What, did you buy a bunch of doe tags and
right,
a kill tag?
Right.
No. I used my unrestricted tag with this doe that was really... it's complicated.
Yeah. Right. Sit down.
But what did scare the living shit out of me was that thing was... looked close to being 3 inches long. When I got up to her, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So I had to make sure she was 3 inches.
Right.
Yeah.
Or else she was in some trouble.
My wiener's only 2 and I had it beat by double. So. Right.
Good to go.
Just kidding.
Well, it was cold out. Never mind.
Oh, fuck. All right, so let's get on to some normal deer. This guy sitting to my right, Mr. Ray Cole, shot himself a big son of a bitch this year.
Biggest one I've ever had in front of me.
Fucking huge, dude. That was a brute.
I saw the picture on Facebook, man. I was like, dang.
It's not, I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. Bob showed me at work, actually, today. I'd seen it, I think, the night, whenever you posted it, I saw it, and I was like, man, And you say you're a beginner hunter, or you've been doing it for just a short time.
Yeah, so. It's my third season, actually.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh. Well, and then also, I was talking to Bob. Was your first kill a doe, too? Or no?
No, his first
kill. It was not. My first kill was actually with Bert's bow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's my bad.
That was an 8-point.
That was a nice 8-point, too. It was respectable.
Oh, nice.
Nice 2.5-year-old 8-point.
Right on. Yeah, that's great.
Oh, yeah, and then he shot a doe that same season with the muzzleloader, I think. Right?
Yep.
And then the 5-point.
The rotten one.
Yeah. That was the one with the rake back. Somebody, we were just talking about that on one of the group pages. Was it Bowmasters of America or something?
Yep.
Somebody was asking a question about that. If the meat was still good, I tagged you in it because, I mean, that was nasty. The one we cut into. We had left was the hind quarters. We had to dump the rest, right?
Yeah. Last year, yeah.
I've never seen a deer like that before. That was nuts.
Why was that?
She got raked on her back by an arrow or a bullet from before, and I'm assuming an arrow.
Okay.
Because it was so infected.
Right.
So when we skinned her out, I mean, I forgot how the whole story went, how we knew it was that. Was it just oozing out on itself?
When I was in the stand with my muzzleloader, two does came in. The one in front was a little bigger than that one. And that one, it's, you know, hair for whatever you want to call it. A little grayer, a little darker. So I'm like, okay, that one's a little older. And it had a tuft of fur on its back that looked funny to me. And it just interested me. I just got intrigued. And I'm like, I'm going to shoot that one just to see what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, I should have shot the other one. But I'm really glad that I took that one out.
You did actually.
She wouldn't have survived.
Provided us a tremendous service to the animal.
Because all we ended up keeping was the hindquarters.
Yeah, she was walking dead. That was nasty.
Yeah, but it was probably a 5 or 6 inch diameter
hole
circle. Yeah, just rotten on her spine. Yeah. You could see parts of her spine sticking out.
Yikes.
It was pretty nasty.
Yeah.
Real pussy.
She wasn't going to make it long. That's,
no, we skinned her. And
you could tell the red on the meat wasn't normal. I still can't really put my finger on what was so different about it, but it didn't look right.
It was like a bruise. It just was like the whole animal had a bruise on it.
Except for the hindquarters. Right. Weirdest thing I've ever seen. The hindquarters are fine.
We talked about scrapping the whole thing and then decided the hindquarters were fine. So
Backstraps, the farthest tenderloins,
away from garbage.
Everything had to go.
They were done.
Yeah. And I remember when we actually, didn't we cut one of the backstraps out?
Yep.
And me and Craig.
Yep.
TJ's brother. We were kind of like just fondling it, for lack of a better word, but
it felt weird. It smelled a little funny.
Real knotty.
Yeah,
real knotty.
It was tight. Like,
yeah, it didn't feel right.
Not gonna do it. Not gonna do it.
So I told Tiffany's uncle, he took that doe I recovered on Sunday night when we were at the coin operated pressure washer spraying that thing out. By the way, $2 and quarters does a number on fucking gut shot deer. Cleans them right up. I told him to take it home. You know, when you get to cutting it up, if you think it smells bad, throw it out. If there's any doubt
in your mind, throw it out.
Exactly. Yep. If there's any question about how good that meat smells, and I think I scared him, actually, because he called me up the next night. He was cutting it up. You want to come smell my meat? You know what? I'll be right there.
Let me go put on my special shirt.
Well, I went over there and he's like, come on, man, this doesn't smell right to me. And he's not really a hunter. He's never actually processed a deer before, so we had no idea what venison smelled like. And I grabbed, you know, put it right up by my face and smelled it, and it smelled like deer. And I said, hey, smell this. This is what it should smell like.
Right.
If you smell anything besides this particular smell here, get rid of it. So he actually was happy to learn that. Venison has a particular smell to it.
I was going
to
say, venison does have, it's got a very unique smell. I mean, I've never smelled elk, I guess, or anything like that, but
people use the word gamey.
Right.
And gamey's a good word for it, but unless you've smelt it before, like when I say gamey, you're not going to know. I can't describe it other than that. It smells.
I don't like the word venison. Gamey because I think it makes people shy. People never tried it, shy away from it, so I don't like to use that, but I can't figure out a better word.
What else are you going to say about it?
That's what it is.
It is.
But, yeah, dude, so
I go out and, God, I've been out there since October 1st, bow hunting with my son, my 12-year-old. It's his second year on the apprentice program. And we're out there the whole month of October. And then, you know, into November. And just nothing. Actually, that's not true. We had a 6-point come out in front of us. A young 6-point
came out.
and
that was early November. We were bow hunting. And he wanted to pass on it. He's like, Dad, that's small. So I'm like, all right. You know, I was proud of him. And
right. Absolutely.
It was early October, though, right?
It probably was October.
I think it was. Right. Still early.
Because it wasn't much longer after camp we came back. I'm sorry. And yeah, it's story time, boys. So I'm out there. He's pretty much given up on it, which, you know, bothers me. But that's why every time I'm like, hey, you want to? Nah, I don't know. But he's got a lot going on with sports and everything. But whatever. I end up there by myself. I'm almost done with it too. And it was, what was that, the 28th?
Yeah. So you're right up at the edge of the
November season. 28th, yeah. And I'm out there with my shotgun.
You're frustrated.
870, yep, iron sights. I'm out there just sitting there like, okay, let's do this again. Nothing's going to come out.
Right.
Go squirrel watch blah, it for blah, 2 hours.
And then now, I see a baby moose.
It's a horse with headgear.
I couldn't believe it when I saw him, because usually I see, you know, a tail or a little white or
right.
body movement or whatever, but the first thing I saw was just his rack coming through.
Now, can we talk about how big this property is you're hunting on?
And I couldn't believe it,
because you're literally like,
it's an acre, and
yeah,
part I'm hunting on is probably a quarter acre is what I'm limited to.
So what I want to do right now is make a point to anybody who doesn't think they have proper deer hunting land. It only takes a half acre, a quarter acre, to actually produce an animal that is worth talking about on a podcast.
Yeah, sure. That's your third, fourth deer you've shot out of here, right?
My third, but four total, because Alex got that big doe last year.
In 3 seasons.
Yep.
Damn.
All it takes is, you know, being in the right spot at the right time has a lot to do with it, but getting out there and trying is,
I don't know how much that's going to change. Mm-hmm. With right. the baiting laws.
Right.
January now, how's that go?
Those change.
How so?
Starting in the new year, you are no longer allowed to hunt over bait.
Okay.
Like any food, anything like that.
Unless it's planted, I guess.
It's got to be like a food generic plot. You can't have like a salt block and a pile of corn like we do up north. That's not going to happen next year.
Like a feeder with corn underneath it. No longer allowed.
Yikes.
So,
because of the CWD.
Right.
Yep. Right. Okay, that makes sense. But that's probably going to mess a lot of guys up.
It will.
I mean,
there are other ways to get around it. A lot of guys have already switched to using like glandular attractants, using like the whatever scent of a buck to bring other bucks in to check it out or whatever. And there's going to be a lot of that.
Because what's going to screw everybody up too is there's no non-synthetic deer urine.
Correct.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, I'm not sure where Tinks falls into that, but I'm pretty sure that's not...
It's approved by the ATA.
Oh, no shit. So we can use Tinks?
Yep.
Shit, too.
Well, at least we still got that, but...
Thank God.
Yeah, basically, anything you could use synthetic to lure an animal into an area where there might actually be a congregation of animals...
Right.
They're trying to eliminate. So, doing away with a lot of the baits and the synthetic... scents and things like that is supposed to help keep the CWD from becoming more of an epidemic than what it already is.
So essentially they're trying to keep the deer where they are. They don't want that.
They don't want to bring them to the same place over and over and over.
Okay.
Because they feel like CWD is spread from a lot of nose to tail interactions.
Uh-huh.
They pick it up just by being around other deer that have it. So if they can keep the deer from coming to a single area repeatedly and kind of grouping up there, they're gonna hoping to stave off
dissipate, and it's right. and it's not right. just chronic wasting disease, TB,
right?
There's all kinds of
any
shit.
Other right. communicable disease that they could get from being, you know, in close proximity to other deer. Now, that's not going to do anything for the deer that like yard up in the wintertime. You know, when you see a herd of 50, 60, 70 deer out in a single field, you're still going to have those problems, but it's going to go a long way towards not letting that happen on like a smaller level, which will affect things on a bigger level, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There's some
time
things
will tell, but
we don't have a cure for CWD,
mm-hmm.
and there's some things that we can't help,
right.
but baiting and no non-synthetic deer urine is one way we can contribute.
Right.
So,
And the DNR, as always, are on top of it. They're doing everything they can to make sure that people like us have a successful season and get to reap the entire benefit of paying for a tag and going out in the woods.
So. They give everybody fair warnings.
Absolutely.
All right. Back
can
to
we talk to my baby right. Moose now?
I'm sorry, Ray. Your story.
Thanks, Adam. And you can tell it if you want.
Well, I wasn't here for it, but...
So I'm sitting out there.
I heard the thunder clap, the lightning struck, and here's this enormous animal.
All I see is the rack actually coming through the woods, and I'm, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, this is the one. That's the one. Right. I've had him on my camera for months.
So never, have some other people.
Yeah, never had a shot at him. Never had him come out in during hunting hours.
Right.
The rut was just winding down, so I figured he was hungry. He didn't have a lot of fat on him.
Right.
When we skinned him, so...
This,
I mean, yeah, just don't give up.
This was a case of being in the right spot at the right time. Like you said, yep. You were discouraged. You didn't really want to go out.
He came strictly for food. He wasn't looking for anything else, just trying to replenish for all the energy that he lost.
You know, you went out cussing because you had to go. Like, you felt obligated to go.
Yep.
Your son was inside the house, right?
Yes.
He didn't want to go. He was like, nah, you know, whatever.
But I didn't want to be out there or not be out there when
right.
they were.
Exactly.
So I have to go, have to go, have to go. So, and luckily, I was in the right place at the right time.
And that's a lesson to anybody.
In and I'm a little older than you guys. Maybe my eyes are a little older than I thought.
Oh,
but
come on.
He came in, and I thought he was broadside, and he wasn't. He was quartering towards me. So I didn't realize at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I raised up the 870 rifled, you know, barrel with the slug, the hollow point, and... just iron sights. He was about 42, 43 yards away. And just went right behind the shoulder. And it felt good, looked good. He double mule kicked, then jumped into the woods.
Right.
Felt good about it. I grabbed my gun, go in the house. The wife was actually getting in the fridge right when I walk into the kitchen, into the house. She's directly there to my left, opening up the refrigerator. And she's like, was that you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
That was the big one. She's like, what? Like, that was the big one. Like, I think I just shot the big one.
Right.
So
that's great.
I don't mean to interrupt your story, but just I had to scroll back to our text conversation that Wednesday when you shot it. The first text I get at 5:41 p.m.
Yep, it was actually, I thought I shot at 5:25. Looking at the trail cam, it was 5:23 when I shot it. But
right.
By the time I collected myself enough to check my phone for the time,
right.
It was 5:25. I didn't text Bert until, what, 5:41?
It was 5:41. It says, shot the big boy out here at 5:25 p.m., trying to calm down a minute before tracking. And then at 6, and I didn't see it. I was in the middle of carving up my Caitlyn Jenner dough.
Right? Yep.
So... in the middle of that, I didn't see all that. And then I got another text that I did hear my phone go off, and it said, not good blood like we're used to, .. A drop here and there.
Oh, man.
So that's
scary,
when
huh?
That's why I went out and called them.
Wife and kids went out with me to check, you know, for a sign, for a trail or whatever. And because, I mean, I've called Bert, I think, twice before the first year I was hunting.
It was twice.
You know, false alarm.
Right.
Like, no, you missed, dumbass. Just
seeing that shot, seeing that double mule kick and feeling good about it, and then
I did
going out there and not finding that sign that you expect is such a kick in the crotch, man.
Yes.
It really
and we saw, I mean, there was hair all over the place.
Right.
And you know, a couple of huge tufts of hair.
Right.
But no blood.
But
with the 12-gauge slug from, what, 40 yards?
40 yards, yeah.
There in my head, there should have been a spray of blood on
right.
in the snow. There was snow all over the fucking ground. There should have been blood everywhere.
So it went in right side, blew a hole right through the lung.
Right.
Exited. What the?
It was back a little bit. The exit was.
How far off of the ribs?
10 inches, 12 inches, something like that.
Getting back in the danger zone.
Yeah.
But
and
you
it
missed.
Was high. It looked high when it
Which
came out.
Probably is what saved you a lot of trouble. Missing a lot
but
of
stuff. But I don't
know
if it just caught
the
all
guts.
The blood, you know, inside. It just
right.
bled internally and didn't. I mean, there was two spots here, two spots there.
And he was jumping over logs
son
and
of
shit.
A bitch, yeah.
Well, you said it was right behind his shoulder. And some shots like that, when they they get excited and they start to run, that shoulder blade will move forward and cover up that hole. So he might only squirt a little bit of blood when he brings that shoulder back and lets that hole open up a little bit.
I never even thought about that.
And I've heard about deer before, like you'll hit them like that, and it, depending on the angle of the shot, that wound will half-ass close up on itself, depending on where you shoot it, and it won't let a lot of blood squirt out until, like, they'll hemorrhage on the inside like crazy. But they'll be tough to track because it'll actually kind of seize itself back together.
Mm. I'll tell you this. If it wasn't for the snow, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have found that deer that
right,
night.
Right.
I mean, maybe if we it all was, spread what, out.
A half hour, 40-minute track?
Oh, no, you would have, because Ray would have combed this damn woods all night long until he found that deer.
I was going to say, eventually, when we combed the woods, we would have found it. But it was nuts. But even with the trail jumped, we had, yeah, we would have right. backed the fuck out.
Even when he jumped and landed, there was not a lot of blood.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple drops here, a couple drops there.
So you get Bird out to help you.
We're following him. Right. Yeah, he jumped, 15 feet at one point, maybe 20 feet.
Isn't that crazy?
The next point over yeah. a
And the whole time, I'm thinking like, okay, so.
Bird keeps looking back at me because he's leaving.
I didn't know when to call right. it. Not call it like track. We're done, but call it and like keeps maybe looking we should back, back
like,
the fuck out.
Right. Really? Really?
Right. Really? Like, yeah, this is not looking good. Maybe we gotta give it some time.
That was one of the even in the snow, that was one of the toughest tracking jobs I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
Just because the way he ran and crisscrossing through other runs and mm-hmm. the way he was bleeding, right. even when we found blood, it wasn't like a drop on top of the snow. It was so cold. I mean, I don't know what the hell happened, but it was like in the snow. Away. You had to like right. dig through and find a little right. ball of frozen blood.
We're tracking, dropping, and Bert's looking, okay, a little more blood here, a little blood here. Bert's like, ooh, I got a pretty good chunk of blood here.
Yeah, cold as shit.
We got all kinds of berries, you know.
Right.
Trees out there, and I'm like, you sure that's not berries? He's like, no, it's a pretty big chunk. And he's like, oh, there's a lot of blood here. And then he's like 10 inches away from his hoof. And he looks up and he sees it, and then... Oh, hell broke loose.
Right.
I'm like, what? Yes. What?
All those good hunting words.
And mind you, when I called him,
he's like, it's right there. Look at that son of a bitch.
We forgot to mention, though, because after that second text, when I called him, he says, yeah, it wasn't as big in person as he looked on camera.
Right.
I'm like, all right. And then we found the fucker. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It is a monster. It's an absolute monster.
I think
monster.
We both concurred. It's probably around 130, 135.
I would say so, yeah. Wow. If it doesn't go 130, I'd be surprised. I don't
know. Which a lot of you out there probably have shot a bigger buck than that. But
you know what? Nobody else has
in my spawn.
Yours is the biggest buck range. Anybody's ever seen.
Oh, to
and
me.
That's,
oh, God.
That's nuts, man.
Just the relief when we found it. I was so scared.
Yeah. I was
that we weren't going to find it.
And the crazy.
And I could see the disbelief in his face while he was tracking it. He looked back at me a couple times like,
hunting is.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
I'm like, just keep going.
Neither of you want to admit anything, right?
Now, mind you, when it was the shotgun with iron sights, too.
Right.
So when he told me that on the phone, I was like, oh, fuck.
I was going to ask about that because you said it was like a 40-yard shot or something. I'm trying to imagine in my head how I would do. And I've only shot a shotgun a few times, so I'm not a good reference. But that seems like a tricky shot.
You got the rifled barrel, right?
I do.
Okay, so you got that going for you at least.
But just even with the iron sights at 40 yards,
right?
Especially on a shotgun, that bead can damn near take up the entire front end of that animal.
Sure. About, 10 minutes before dark or whatever. So,
right. That's why I was nervous. I'm like, no blood splatter. It's not bleeding good. It's jumping over fucking logs, for Christ's sake. It's
jumping 20 feet at a
time. Yeah, it wasn't just jumping it. And you could see where it, one point it jumped over a downed tree. And you could see in the snow where it's one hoof drug across the snow. And you could see in the tree branches, because there was snow, it froze the night before.
Right.
So all the snow was still on the tree branches. You could see where his rack hit it. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it was nuts.
Yeah.
And that was the shit, too, because even on though it was, the buck brush was still up with all the leaves, there was no blood against the leaves or anything either.
Right.
That's what had me really worried. I'm like, this fucker probably just nicked it on the
raised it.
Hence the reaction when,
back,
right.
when he found it, because he's like,
I can't believe you actually shot it.
He's probably looking at his phone like, how long am I going to have to track this with him before?
But I told you, the whole time we were doing this too, I kept thinking, that Caitlyn Jenner doe, I shot her and it was the same kind of thing. It was a quartering torch shot right behind the shoulder, went out the back end. And so it was through the liver or whatever. And when I got up to her, there's blood everywhere. Blood
we did blow that liver apart.
Oh, yeah, you did. I mean, he would have, So there was blood everywhere when I got up to her, but her blood trail wasn't shit.
Right.
It's weird. So that's why I was like, well, maybe for whatever fucking reason, he's just not bleeding real.
Probably once she laid down, she bled out. Sometimes that blood will pool up. If you shoot him high, the blood's going to pool in that cavity. when they're running, especially. It's not until they actually get on their side where the hole is that they're going to drain out. So,
and I thought he galloped off a ways because I could hear it.
Right.
And then it just stopped. And I'm like, okay, he just got out of earshot. I can't hear him anymore.
Right.
Because once again, I'm old. So not only can I not see, I can't hear either.
Your son wasn't with you. You were handicapped. Right. It's a like, whole different tag for that.
That's why I need you, kid.
But apparently it was gallop, 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 gallop.
Die.
Fall. Yeah. Yep.
Just straight fall over. Yeah.
Well, if somebody blew up my liver and put a hole through one of my lungs, I don't know how far I'd get.
No, it literally looks like he just stiffened up and was like, I'm done.
Right.
And fell over. And the crazy thing was, too, it felt like we were tracking that thing for 200, 300 yards or whatever.
Right.
And it died 30 yards from where you shot it.
Yep.
It circled all the way back around. So that's something for you guys to keep in mind when you're out there tracking and can't find it.
That's right.
Go back to the beginning.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Deer generally will either circle back to where they come from or they will head towards water. For some reason, if a deer gets injured, they're going towards water. Like a drainage ditch, a pond in the middle of a field, whatever. Something about water makes them feel safe. I don't know. It's just, in my experience, that's what happens.
I cannot describe the feeling that I felt.
Oh, it's such a roller coaster. Like,
when
the ups.
Seabird, I did shoot it good.
How do you like me now?
Yeah. And that was crazy, too, because, man, we got back and, you know, I couldn't stay with you as long as I wanted to because I had to get back and grab kids and do this and that. But
right. Be a parent.
Yeah.
In deer season.
To somebody else besides Ray. He's older than me, and I still have to wipe his ass for him.
No. It was just, it's one of the moments where you shoot a deer that big. When you shoot a deer at all, really, it's nice to have everybody around.
You're absolutely.
Eyeballing it, you know, and just, you're on cloud nine because you just shot a deer. But the crazy thing was, I woke up that next morning, and I even texted you because I'm like, dude, I feel like I just
shot
that.
You shot a buck, and I'm on cloud nine.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I come over that
Adam
night.
Adam actually stopped
it
by
was
that
right
night.
After you left.
He's like, here you go, sir, with a six-pack. I'm like, thank you.
I just left. So I'm getting my hair cut, and the woman that's cutting my hair is going to marry Tiffany and I here in a month. And so I'm talking to her, and my phone goes off, and I'm looking at it, and it's, I think you sent me the picture of Ray with this just baby moose, and he's just, I'm like, you know what? I gotta go now. So she quit cutting my hair, and Tiffany showed up, and I was like, yep, here's Tiffany. I'm gone. See ya. And I left and came over and
half a haircut and six pack of beer.
That's like, great.
It don't matter. It'll grow back.
Man, and cutting them up was an experience too. That was a big son of a bitch.
Yeah, it was
man.
A lot more than we thought. We both thought.
Have we reposted that about the butcher episode?
I did. I put that back up a couple weeks ago.
Because I actually referred a guy to it. Her uncle. I was like, yeah, you know, check this out. We made an episode about cutting up deer. This will tell you everything you need to know. Listen to it and see what you think. And then he, I'll actually show you the picture. He cleaned up that deer better than a damn coyote would.
And see, that's the thing. A lot of people are scared to try carving up their own deer just because they're intimidated.
Right.
Which is understandable, but fuck, I mean, the internet's out there. You can YouTube just about anything now.
Yeah, check that out.
Yeah, he did a great job. No complaints about that.
No.
I mean, when I shot my deer, man, it was just an insane experience.
This is all skeleton.
Nice.
Hanging bones.
I'm glad you were there because you pretty much took care of everything after we dragged the deer in. And, you know, I'm, like you said, YouTube and stuff. I learned a lot of stuff on YouTube and I could have figured something out, but yeah, man,
it's better to have somebody knows what they're doing to do it in front of you where you can actually watch it and ask questions.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a serious.
Yeah. When that wreck's like this, it's like, holy cow.
Oh, that's great. It makes me smile and I can't even help it.
He was showing everybody a picture of Ray's deer.
Yes.
Hanging in the garage. But yeah, no, it's definitely better when you have somebody there to help guide you. Like my dad was that guy, you know. Mm-hmm. My dad was a butcher for all you locals know Lowry's Meat Market.
Yep.
You know, so when he was a kid, he worked there, learned how to butcher deer, and that's how I learned. Now I took what dad learned, and then you know with people like Steven Ranella and other people like that, you know, on the internet,
right.
You learn different ways of doing things.
Yeah.
Which what I like is because I like getting that thing on the table and experimenting and trying different ways of doing things, faster ways of doing things.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's weird. I timed myself this year. I don't even know why I did it. When I went to field dress that little button buck, I thought, all right, here's my phone. Here we go. 9 minutes. I had it done. Done and over with, and I'm loading it up in my truck. Like it used to fascinate me how this deer came apart. I used to watch my dad do it, and it was amazing to me how everything went together and mm-hmm. where everything was and how just how everything was put together, because when you see it as you're field dressing it, it helps you understand where everything is.
Yeah.
When you get to actually,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead, man. That's what we're here for.
You learn a little bit about the deer's anatomy.
Yeah.
And that's huge. And that you take that knowledge right back into hunting the next
Absolutely.
One. And
Absolutely.
It's huge.
That's part of the whole experience. Like every animal I've shot has been a different experience. They might all be the same size deer, the same, you know, gender, whatever. Every single incident is a unique experience in itself. There's never, everything's the same, but it's always a different sort of feeling, I guess.
The front shoulders always get me.
Yeah, that ball socket.
There's no ball and socket. I mean, it's just like.
So.
But no, I mean, yeah, like you said, you get to learn your anatomy
that,
when you cut it up.
We had a ball socket on the front.
Or when you gut
that
it.
Was a monster.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, when you gut it, you get to learn the anatomy a little bit. And
right.
I enjoy having, I guess, for lack of a better word, intimate relationship with my food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It means more to me when I know where everything on my, like, I have a garden. In the summertime, I'll cook deer steak on the grill with yellow squash and tomatoes in my salad. I know where all this food came from, and I'm the one that provided it. It gives me a unique sense of pride and a weird sense of fulfillment. Like, I didn't know that was missing from my life until I got to feel that. And now I want to feel it all the time. Just to be the provider, to be the one mm-hmm. that gets to be, you know, the strong American male.
It's the same kind of feeling you get even when you share with your friends and, you know,
yeah, absolutely.
Extended family at parties and such during
yeah.
the holidays. You
yep.
know, that's the beauty about hunting season is usually by Thanksgiving and Christmas yeah. and New Year's, you usually got a few in the freezer, hopefully.
Right. What were you doing Thanksgiving? Bert?
Fuck. I don't even remember.
You were in the garage working, yeah. remember? You had those deer from deer camp.
Mm.
So we ended up making them a plate and brought them over.
That's right. I forgot all about that. That's why
I was wondering why I didn't remember my Thanksgiving.
Why do you remember it and I don't?
The wife was working.
Nice.
The kids were gone. So
stuck in the garage
just,
by
yeah,
himself with a sharp knife. And
taking care
meat.
Of Bussy's deer.
Yeah, yeah, man. And like when I got it, there's so much, dude.
So we brought him a 5-pound plate of Thanksgiving.
On
goodness.
Thanksgiving, you were cutting my deer up on Thanksgiving, Brent.
Yeah.
Now that makes me feel bad.
Don't feel bad.
There's no way to
Mikey, honest to God, dude, I enjoy the shit out of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Well, even for other people.
Did right? I mess you up when I texted you? Like, I knew you were well into that deer, and I texted you after I had spoke with my girlfriend's
dad. Oh, about
dad
the grind?
About the grind, because he let me borrow his grinder, and I wanted to try that.
I was going to cut both of his shoulders up in the roast. The shank, and then two shoulder roasted piece. Cut them in half, you know, but then he's like, well, he wanted more burger than anything, so
right.
But no, he didn't. I mean, yeah. I took the one shoulder and just burgered it out, which that does, that is probably one of the most more time-consuming things to do.
Right.
But I don't mind.
Okay, yeah. I figured it was going to be more work, and I'm like, man, you're already, then I got the shit, and it was all packaged perfectly, vacuum sealed, and I'm just like, dude.
Did you get
you
the
went,
bill
you
yet?
You went to the next right. level. What's that?
Did you get the bill yet?
I was waiting. I told you need to start a side business.
The bill's in the mail. It's just
yeah.
running slow this time of year.
But that's you know.
We'll call it Birchers.
Hey.
Don't take it to the butcher. Take it to Birchers.
Right.
The butcher shop.
But seriously, it's one of them things that it's one thing that I can do, I think, kind of well. And it's mm-hmm. something that I can help people out with. So, you know, like Ray.
I love it because it helps me out a lot. Like, oh, yeah. I know you have three deer hanging that you're working on right now, but.
What helps me out is, you know, fuck, 11 other months out of the year when I can't go grab my kid from practice that one day. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I can always count on Ray or Vicky to be like, hey, can you grab Chloe? I got to grab Ethan from here. I'm not going to be able to make it. And they do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Shit like that. And like you with the podcast, you edited that Deer Camp podcast,
right.
which
right.
you listeners probably don't realize how much work that took. There was seven different microphones on
yeah.
two different devices. Mikey
yeah.
fucking killed it.
Thanks, man. It was a little messy, but yeah, it was. I'm glad it came out the way it did, man. Because
there's a lot of cleaning up to do.
Yeah, it was fine though. It was well worth it because I honestly wanted to like do my part. I really did because I was like, dude, I shot a deer and gave it to Brent and then got meat back.
But it worked out, man. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's like the one thing where I can help people out with. And I don't mind doing it. I enjoy doing it. And like I said, I like experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Not like I'm experimenting on somebody else's deer. But
right.
A different kind of experiment.
Well, Mark, I tried this. It didn't work. Here's your 20 pounds of meat.
Some of the best memories I have grown up is when my dad did kill a deer and he got his buddies together. You know, somebody'd bring a case of beer and they'd sit around. Everybody'd have a knife and there'd be just tubs of meat and they'd be carving deer all day long. And while they're cutting up deer, my mom's frying backstrap in the pan. And, you know, everybody's having a good time, hanging out. And there's just a lot of camaraderie
mm-hmm.
and a lot of happiness that comes with producing an animal like that. And, like, self-butchering can be as time-consuming as you want it to be. But it can be, I did that deer myself that I shot. Granted, it wasn't a whole lot of meat, but it took me half a day probably to cut the whole thing up myself.
If you want
to
get the most out of your harvest, do it right, per se. And it takes some time.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time.
It does. It is a meticulous...
And when I had three of them stacked up in my garage.
And I thought Bob's doe went with you, too. And
it did.
That's what I told him. I thought you were cleaning it for... Or
I wasn't cleaning it for him. He took... Remember, because we ate the back straps at camp.
I remember that.
Ate the tenderloins at camp. And he took the two hindquarters with him, so...
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
And I'm not trying to give my brother shit right now, but... I don't think he realized how easy the shoulders were to do because I was trying to tell him, like, dude, just skin it out, cut the front shoulders off, and get the rest of the grind off. It's not that bad.
Right.
I don't got time for that. It's like, that's faster than whatever. Mm-hmm. But, so I had your doe, Popsy's buck, and then that. So it really wasn't three. But what I've gotten in the habit of doing is, I got them hanging in the garage, cut a front shoulder off, or both front shoulders, take them down the basement, work on them for an hour, 2 hours. Then the next day, work on one of the hindquarters.
Yeah.
It's a lot better doing it that way. Like, Ray's buck.
Yeah, we did it all in one night.
And that was a 9-hour day.
We kept going out like, Jesus Christ.
We done yet?
Cut another shoulder off and bring it in. Cut another shoulder off.
He was so fucking big. I wasn't even happy when we were done with it, because I think I could have fucking gotten more meat off that bitch. Off the neck. The neck alone was fucking huge.
Yeah.
That was stupid.
Yeah, it was.
The neck on that sucker was...
It was huge.
Well, why don't you start shooting small deer like me and just be done with that?
Right.
It's a lot easier to...
We had it done in 9 minutes.
Let me tell you, my tenderloins, I peeled out by hand. I was just... Come to me.
Like, did Adam just tape antlers to his neighbor's dog?
Before we wrap this up, we need to get to your heart, because Adam sent me and Ray both a video on a group text yesterday about this heart he was cooking up, and he mentioned that he seasoned it. You tenderized it, right? And then you used...
No, I just cut the heart up. That heart I just cleaned up. It was laying on the plate, drying. I put paper towel underneath it and on top of it to kind of soak up all the water off it. Because I had the heart soaking in a salt water solution to help draw the blood out of it. So when I was satisfied that most of the blood was out of it, I cut it up like we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I cut the heart up into like half-inch strips. And I seasoned it with coffee, which I guess caught Bert by surprise. You can use coffee as a seasoning.
Does right Starbucks on. Know yeah. that?
I'm not telling them.
I have never heard of that.
They're really? Going to start selling it now.
Wait a minute.
It's something I've been playing with for a while. It's good on... I don't think it works well on like chicken or maybe on pork, I guess. A couple of years ago, we bought a McCormick seasoning in one of those little round things, like a dry rub seasoning thing. And it's called Cowboy Rub. And they call it Cowboy Rub because it has coffee in it. And with the coffee is like ground up bell peppers, onions, just different savory spices that you wouldn't expect to go with coffee, but it was always really good. So I started experimenting with some of the coffee we had. She likes to drink Javalia. So we use like a traditional Javalia roast and mix it with onion powder, garlic powder, a little bit of Lowry salt. You could pretty much use anything you would want to put with it, like cinnamon.
She's drinking Jehovah juice. What the hell is that?
Javali. It's a brand name of coffee. It's just black coffee. Just a standard.
I screwed that way up. I thought you mixed coffee with some kind of alcohol.
No, no, no. I'm sorry. Man, Javali is the name of a coffee. It's a brand of coffee. Javali is. Okay, so we'll just call it coffee. We edit that shit out.
Yeah, that's my bad.
So yeah, it just a little bit of coffee in with some other seasonings. You don't want to overdo the coffee. It's really easy to get too much of it. But when you cook with coffee, you would think it would taste like a cup of coffee. But it doesn't. When you cook it, it actually develops a flavor of its own, and it's more of like a, almost like a, kind of a chocolate sort of a roasty flavor that's just really deep and, mm-hmm. and really really good.
So I can't even begin to describe it because it's.
I got.
It's different.
Did you take a pinch of the seasoning?
I got a whiff of coffee like at the beginning, and then it like
try
all the other flavors.
Just
came
try
through.
A little bit because yeah. it'll change when you cook with it. But Adam, I brought actually extra bags in case you guys want to take some of this.
Adam brought in this bag here that mixed stuff because I was extremely intrigued. I've never
maybe not after he licked his finger and dipped it in there, but
that it's God damn, that's good.
Yeah, and you could try it on like
your bag even I mean
you can dry rub a roast with it. I used it on deer heart.
Yeah,
you can literally do anything with it like. It'll go good on steak if you want to do like a steak on the grill. Just put it heavy on a steak, throw it on a hot grill, almost sear it. Like you want to get it just really, really hot, cook it quick, and then flip it over. You don't want to burn the coffee. So when you're cooking it, you want to have some oil underneath it if you're going to cook it for a while or just plan on cooking it pretty quickly mm-hmm. on a broiler, on a grill, sure. something like that. So, turns out great, man. It adds a different depth of flavor to it, and it's something like I was surprised that you didn't know about it, but I wasn't really surprised because a lot of people don't cook with coffee and they're missing out. Like coffee to me is great for a drink in the morning, but it's also a really good seasoning. So
yeah, like I don't need to drink coffee after 11 a.m. just because it's like a morning thing for me.
Right,
it's
right.
coffee, fucking coffee,
right. Yeah.
That doesn't even taste like coffee. I mean, you can taste a hint.
When you smell it, it smells a little bit like coffee. And it'll just be like...
That's different, though, man.
When you cook with it, you won't think of it as... I don't know. I'll say it. You won't think of it as coffee. It is coffee. But it'll develop a different... When it comes to your mind, it'll just be, you know, oh, coffee. I can use that to season my tenderloin with, or I can use that to drink.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I would definitely want to try it for sure.
That adds,
it smells great. Well,
that adds something. To
can them. I use Folgers or do I have to use Jehovah?
No, I think any coffee would be fine. You want more of a fine ground than a coarse ground. You don't want big chunks of coffee hanging off your meat unless that's what you're into. If you're using a coarse seasoning mix, mm-hmm. some people use like half peppercorns or just a really, like if you have a mortar and pestle or whatever and you crush up your own seasoning and you like it coarse, that's one thing, but for this, with the powder that you put in it, the garlic powder and the onion powder, it's better to have a fine grind.
Sure.
To just make it more palatable.
Yeah.
So.
Well, all right. I think we can wrap this thing up. But before we go out, I want to make sure that I mention to check out Truth and Justice Podcast so you can see what Mikey, my brother's, you're what, the... executive producer?
Yeah, that's what we're calling me now.
Nice. Sounds fancy.
I edit the podcast.
Yeah. So go check out Truth and Justice Podcast. See what those rascals are up to when they're not at deer camp or sitting out drinking beer with us.
Right, exactly.
You guys are what, like number 8 on the iTunes list now?
We hit number 9 overall, which is like insane.
Incredible.
But yeah. I mean,
do you know out of how many?
Well, every
million.
Single one. I mean, yeah, I think it's like 18 million
yeah.
That are on iTunes. You know, but...
You guys are doing good work, man. You guys are really, really carrying a heavy torch.
What about for your category?
For our category, we got to, at one point, number 1. But those spots have definitely, we've fallen back a little bit. Right. I mean, you can't hang a number 1 for long. Those charts change by the hour.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that was an insane accomplishment. And it was a good time. We've been doing the same thing for years now.
Yeah.
The same exact recipe.
Right.
And that's, you know, just like you guys. You know, you've been at it a year doing the same thing. And,
It works for you guys. You guys are actually doing...
not just drinking beer and talking bullshit.
You guys are doing work, that actually makes a difference in people's lives. Like, what we're doing, I hope, makes somebody take their kid up off the couch and go out in the field with, you know, 22 and kill some squirrels or something.
I have a real strong feeling you guys are going to see a boost now that you're on all the directories will go with, because right. I don't know what you're on exactly, but that's huge. And then, I mean, you're on point with social media. You guys, I think, appeal a lot to, like, me personally, I'm a novice hunter, and you guys appeal to the new guys, man. You know, a lot of times it's intimidating walking into a room full of hunters who have been at it for 20, 30 years,
right.
and they know their shit, and you're just like, I want to do this, but, you know, where do I start? You guys break down a lot of the details, a lot of the nitty-gritty, and a lot of stuff I think that you're not going to get in just a initial contact with an experienced hunter. You're not right. going to get that kind of in-depth conversation. It's good stuff.
Kind of what I wanted.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Yeah, doing this thing with you is that I want to let people know that it doesn't take a $100 hunting suit, you know, and a $500 rifle to go out and make a difference. You can go to Walmart and buy what you need
mm-hmm.
and go out and actually enjoy the sport, because the more people we get into the sport, the longer the sport's going to be around.
Right.
It's all about conservation. It's all about preserving what we enjoy so that younger generations ahead of us can enjoy it, and teaching them to appreciate it the way that we do. Because
mm-hmm.
it's had a profound impact on my life. If I didn't hunt and fish, I'd be doing a lot of other really dumb shit. So this makes a big difference to me.
And right. to add to that fact, when the biggest buck I've ever seen in front of me and shot,
right,
that baby moose we were talking about
earlier. Yeah, yeah.
I got home from work. I got straight in the stand. No camo.
Yeah.
No scent killer, right. no nothing.
Right.
Just me from work, jumped and in, wasn't a stand actually. You it was have a blind.
A but, ground blind, but yeah.
Yep. It and doesn't. I had a propane heater going,
mm-hmm.
a Mr. Buddy heater.
It doesn't and take a Jim Shockey with all the top of the line, everything. All it takes is the will and the want to.
Get up.
Yeah.
Get out.
Get out and actually get it done is, it'll be doing yourself a tremendous favor.
And the thing is, a lot of people, you know, our age or older, you know, dads, that, you know, their life is chaos most
yeah,
of the time.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah,
you got kids and shit. Even if you don't see a deer, you're still going to appreciate the fucking quiet, I promise.
Yeah, I promise. Yeah, there's no serenity like that you feel in the woods after you get set down for a half hour and everything quiets down around you and the squirrels start moving, the birds start chirping, and you get to pay attention to every little detail. The wind blows and it rustles the leaves and, you know, just being out there will... to coin a Fred Bear term, it'll cleanse the soul without fucking with a polar bear.
Away from screaming kids and diesel trucks.
Yeah.
So you heard of people. Get your kids. Get out. Start getting
after
it. We
say it all the time, man. Don't sit on the couch and play a video game about hunting. Get out and go hunting. Do it. It's easy to do. We can do it. You guys can do it. Make it happen.
Hunting gets over early enough that you can go play a video game after.
Sure.
All right, everybody, we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, everybody, that's it. That's a wrap. Thanks again for listening. Make sure you guys go to iTunes and shoot us a rating. And thanks again to Mike Bussing for coming all the way down from Coloma to come hang out with us for an hour. It was a lot of fun, and we can't wait to do it again. If you guys have any questions for deer biologist Ken Kesson, make sure you guys send them to us by January 16th. You can do that via email at racksfurandfeathers@gmail.com. Look us up on Twitter at RFF Podcast. Facebook, Racks Fur and Feathers. There is a group and a page. And we'll make sure we'll get them to them. We're going to be sitting down, I think it's the 23rd, something like that. It's a week after the 16th, so make sure you guys get your questions in by then. As always, all editing done by the Kyle Palmonter, and all music and artwork is done by Shane Yoder from PutThemInASong.com and the Root Note Podcast. Everybody have a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you in the new year.